WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The nation's airports are taking a hit amid the government shutdown and an air traffic controller shortage. There are now delays in Chicago, Nashville, and Dallas. And last night, the Hollywood Burbank Airport had no controllers. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The reaction to that is you slow down the flights coming in and out of Burbank Airport, and they're handled by other air traffic control facilities that have the staffing to handle the volume. But you're going to slow everything down. That's why you saw a lot of delays into Burbank and some cancellations. The airport stayed open even if there was no one in that tower.
A program in danger of running out of funding because of the shutdown is staying afloat.
The White House says it will use tariff revenue to continue to fund the special supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children known as WIC. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt issued a statement that says, quote, "The Trump White House will not allow impoverished mothers and their babies to go hungry because of the Democrats' political games." She called the use of tariff money a creative solution to fund the program. Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
The union representing more than 800,000 federal and district employees is warning that the impact of the shutdown will get worse if it continues. Jacqueline Simon of the American Federation of Government Employees says more than 2 million federal workers are doing their job without pay or are furloughed without pay.
This is just one more attempt to undermine federal employees' sense of normalcy and ability to carry out the duties of their position.
Members of the Texas National Guard are some 50 miles southwest of Chicago and expected to be in the city as soon as tomorrow. A lawsuit has been filed by Illinois and Chicago claiming that the president's authorization to deploy troops to the city is unlawful and dangerous. CBS's Nicole Skang.
Federal judge is going to hear from both sides Thursday, but sources familiar tell us we'll see the Texas National Guard deployed outside ICE facilities before then. If the federal judge doesn't block this, we can expect to see 300 more Guard members from Illinois soon, too. If she does, well, President Trump says he's ready to invoke the Insurrection Act.
Trump says the troops are needed to protect immigration enforcement efforts and crack down on crime. Federal data obtained by CBS News shows that unlawful crossings at the U.S.-Mexico border fell to the lowest annual level in 55 years. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
The vast majority of the apprehensions, those 238,000 apprehensions in fiscal year 2025, were actually recorded in the last 3 months of the outgoing Biden administration.
The Senate confirms 108 Trump nominees, including Sergio Gore, to be U.S. ambassador to India, and Herschel Walker as U.S. ambassador to the Bahamas. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Brewers roll past the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-3 victory over the Cubs in their best of five playoff series. The Cubs have now lost two in a row. Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, in the first two games, we have just not, you know, produced enough pressure on them. And it's, you know, that's going to add up to a lot of zeros.
Game three tomorrow afternoon, just after 4 o'clock at Wrigley Field. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked if Quinn Priester will be on the mound.
Do you know what your plans are for game three starting pitcher?
Game three will be Priester.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Heat 103-93 in preseason play. The Packers held practice and wide receiver Christian Watson out there since that ACL injury last January. Does it feel good to be back?
100%. I got to knock a little bit of rust off. Obviously, it's been a while since I've been able to, you know, go out there and play football. But from just, you know, confidence and just running and everything, it felt really good.
That's Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Freeze warning overnight, mostly clear, areas of frost and lows in the low 30s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the upper 50s, and continued warming for Thursday and Friday, with sun, highs in the low 60s. Right now it's 48.
Todd Albaugh.
As the government remains shut down, what solutions are in sight, if any? And the political fallout in Wisconsin. We'll discuss it with Trigvi Olson, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kraitlow. Next time, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kraitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Mutinoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are delighted to be joined by the fabulous farm babe from the Midwest Farm Report, Pam Yonke, is here. It's been too long, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. I'm back after quite a little experience last week with World Dairy Expo. So You're catching me on a good day. I finally have got a little energy back. So
we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. We want to talk about the World Dairy Expo that was going on. That's a big event. And we'll get to that in a little bit, but there's so many other things to talk about, Pam, especially with regards to farmers and tariffs, and In particular, Wisconsin soybean growers. So I'm curious what you are hearing from folks when you're on the ground.
Well, for those of you that are watching on the stream, you may see me paging. I'm kind of watching headlines right now because we're expecting today more details on the federal aid that's designed to go directly to farmers that are being hit by the lower soybean prices. Now, there's a ripple effect all the way around on this. I don't want you to think that this is just for soybean growers. We understand that there may also be some other grains that are incorporated in some of this federal aid. That's why I'm kind of antsy about the details.
Sure.
But basically what this is designed to do is China has been missing in action as far as purchasing U.S. soybeans. They are purchasing incredible amounts of soybeans from Brazil and Argentina and other areas. Some of our U.S. soybeans might be, as they say, backdooring it, coming around from other vendors into China. But as far as direct sales, we've had zero. That's a major hit. And it's a statement, obviously. And so as farmers go into the harvest, the option of what's out there as far as price isn't very good. This morning, I was talking with a commodity broker, and he said, for farms that are in the upper Midwest, so that'd be Minnesota, North Dakota, even South Dakota, all the way across, anybody that's growing soybeans, most of those soybeans would normally go to the Pacific Northwest, out by Seattle, to go out ocean-bearing to China. Well, they don't have them. They don't need them over there. Mm-hmm. So it's not only disrupting, and the farmers there are being, I'll call it dinged, because normally they would get a premium if they can get those beans going to the international market. It's a straight shot. You don't have to worry about a lot of congestion as far as the rail lines, so they can get her moving. That brings them a premium because of location, speed of harvest, that type of thing. That's all gone. So those marketing options that farmers normally had are all gone. So the money will likely go from the farmer's mailbox, shall we say, directly to everybody that they owe, because they've got bills that these beans were supposed to take care of.
To pay for it, yeah.
So fertilizer bills, seed bills, diesel, anything like that. So don't think that farmers are going to be driving around in Escalades or anything like that. And my apologies to anybody that's driving an Escalade. I love them too. But you get my point. They are not going to be going on vacations and all this kind of stuff. Most of that money is going directly to pay the debt that that crop incurred when they planted it. So like I said, I wish I knew a little bit more as of right now on the details, the amount. The other question I have is, now that the federal government shut down, who is going to get this money to them? USDA's normally would go through the Farm Service Agency office or some of our arteries that way. We're not getting anything from USDA today. Yeah. Today, like an idiot, I walked into the studio looking for my weekly crop progress report.
Not there.
That's generated by USDA.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that that we are still piecing together. So as I said, if you're watching on the stream, that's one of the reasons why I'm scrolling through my phone to see if there's any breaking news or if we're getting any details as of this time.
Well, and Pam, for someone like me who doesn't know that process as far as getting the money, it's not just USDA. If we're talking about money being sent to farmers, what is the entire process? Does it have to go through Congress, be approved, or is it just it's authorized by someone and the USDA issues money and then there you go?
Back her up to the first time that the Trump administration was in place. This is exactly the same thing they did at that time.
Okay.
And basically, because farmers are such a documented group of people, I mean, the federal government's got paper on them everywhere because of government programs, checkoff programs, all that kind of stuff. So the footprint is there as far as how. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much, and we don't know when. And again, like I said, if it's going to involve a USDA mechanism to try to deliver that money, even though most of it all goes direct deposit into the farm bank account, like I said, I'm still uncertain of which flange of the federal government is going to pull the trigger. Yeah. But no, this is exactly the same thing that the Trump administration did the first time he was in office and lost some of our critical markets. Again, open the pocketbook and there she goes.
Well, and going back to the first Trump administration, our farmers never came back entirely from that. As you said, they lost markets that never came back because other countries were like, well, I'm going to find a more stable market where I can rely on things.
Yeah, that's a strong conversation that we're having in agriculture right now. And, you know, there's certain commodities that lend themselves to that kind of thing. For example, at any given time in the world, somebody's growing wheat. Well, you're not really at a competitive advantage if you're growing wheat and you can't market everywhere. Soybeans are getting to be the same way. Right now, South America dominates the world production in soybeans. So as long as China wants to keep going with them, despite their currency uncertainty, transportation issues in country and out, they've got the beans. But I've heard analysts say that China's consumption of soybeans is bigger this year than it was last year. So ultimately, they are going to have to come to the United States or, like I said, backdoor it from the United States somehow. But to your point, Jane, I mentioned it at the outset. The federal monies that are going to be distributed to farmers to offset the soybean losses are to offset debt that they are currently carrying on the soybeans they've got that they're
that
harvesting
sitting
now.
There. Yeah.
They're not coming ahead.
Right.
There is no profit.
Right.
You are just trying to cover your butt and keep credit coming your way for the growing season of 2026. So yeah, to your point, this isn't a recovery. This is basically making sure that farmers stay viable to get into the next growing season.
It's a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's a Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And every farmer knows it.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking to the fabulous Farm Babe, the host of the Midwest Farm Report, Pam Jahnke. She is our guest today on Matt and Aaron Air, and we're talking to her about we talked to her as well as Darren Von Ruden about the farming world, getting updates from the community, and we're talking about the devastation to the soybean market, which has been zeroed out here in the United States due to tariff policies and whatnot. And the question I have for you, Pam, is you talk to farmers way more than I do. And we know, but what I do know is that they don't want handouts. They don't want the government coming in and writing checks all the time. They want partnership. They want leadership. But how do they feel about another bailout?
Yeah, well, I think what they ultimately are hoping is this is just one example of what will turn out to be a better outcome. You know, remember, farmers are like all of us. they are not, and this is a poor pun, they're not siloed. So it is not the only thing they think about. Mm-hmm. They think about immigration. They think about the possibilities down the road. If I have to suffer pain now, but it's going to bring change or dividends or better markets or more operations that I can work with, they will take that pain. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. They don't want to check, but they are ready to take the pain if in the end it helps the United States get into a better place with Canada, with the European Union. I mean, I know we're focusing on China, and rightly so. But if you talk to farmers, they'll say, hey, cheese exports are up over 30%. That's going into the world marketplace. Mm-hmm. There have been some agreements. We've got a lot of product now that's going into Southeast Asia. I never imagined. But as people's income grow, they have more interest in dairy products, for example. So granted, soybeans is a major, major commodity for the United States, for mm-hmm. Wisconsin farmers. But when you talk to farmers on an individual basis, they are wise to the whole makeup of the pie.
Yeah.
They don't focus on just one thing, especially yeah. Wisconsin. Now, that's Wisconsin. You get to other states where they are much more, I won't say monoculture, but corn, beans, pigs. That's mm-hmm. Iowa. Corn, yeah. Then, obviously, they get a little more excited. In Wisconsin, we've got such diversity.
Sure.
We see things a little differently. But like I said, they still would prefer to be a competitor in the open marketplace and go for it than have to stand by and see if this is going to take care of just the soybean bill. Now, that's just soybean. We're not talking about corn yet. We don't know if that's included. We're not talking about wheat. In Wisconsin, we've got dairy cows. There's nothing about, you know, how are you going to feed your dairy cows, that kind of stuff. So it's a process. We've seen it before. We'll see how this one goes, if it's got any tweaks. But as I said, as of right now, we're just lacking a lot of details.
I'm curious, though, Pam, and then we got to go to a break. But I saw a soybean farmer on Newsmax yesterday, and mm-hmm. he essentially said, we are being tariffed. So if I want to buy a part for my tractor, I pay more in order to get that part because of these tariffs. And now the president is going to give me back my money that I paid in tariffs. Is there any resentment that you're hearing among farmers about that?
No. And I'd be curious to know where that guy was. I mean, geography matters in agriculture. It really does.
Yeah.
And I understand. And it also matters what kind of equipment you're running. If you're running John Deere, that's still primarily sourced in the United States as far as, you know, the parts and that type of thing. If you've got something that comes from the European Union, that may be something that comes from Canada. That may be a brand that is a victim. But you know, the bottom line is, the tariff money is supposedly some great savings pot somewhere being held by the federal government. And a dipper of that is coming back to U.S. farmers in the form of these discussed funds that are going to be targeted specifically to soybeans. So I get his point.
But at the same time, you said that dairy is doing well.
Yeah, dairy is doing very well. I mean, like almost, you know, it makes you kind of wonder. When you can see cheese exports go up over 30%. And now remember, Wisconsin has got a huge, huge corner on the market because of specialty cheeses. Even with tariffs, you cannot find the flavors of cheeses produced in Wisconsin anywhere else in the world. You cannot find cranberries produced in Wisconsin anywhere else in the world. You just have to understand. So if you want them, you got to step up.
Yeah. Yeah.
The relationships have been there. We talked about that a lot at World Dairy Expo. But like I said, farmers understand, and we'll really understand it. I just wrote a check for my fertilizer bill for next year and about had to have a bottle next to me so that I could get through it, because that is insane. The fertilizer bill on my small farm in O'Connell County, it was up 30% compared to last year.
Jeez.
And that's not only global demand on fertilizer, but it's also, we're going to dig you while we can. Could be Vladimir, could be, you know, you don't know. But all I know is PMD Farms kicked in extra 30% just to make sure that my crops will have something to grow with next year.
Wow. We're going to continue our conversation. She is the fabulous farm babe from the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Jahnke is our guest, and we'll continue on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Jane said,
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, deep cuts, and some authentic cringe. This is from 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about a half an hour, we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the hot and spicy edition, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we're joined by the fabulous farm babe with the Midwest Farm Report. Pam Yonke is here. We're talking all things farming. We wanted to talk a little bit, Pam, about, and we've talked about this before with you, about mental health on the farm and whether or not our farmers are getting enough help, whether or not they are seeking help. Can you give us a little update on where we are on that?
Well, we're focused in the Midwest Farm Report, along with Rural Mutual Insurance this week, is trying to really bring visibility to the resources that are available to farms and farm families. This is a difficult time, always is. I mean, harvest is busy. You're dependent on the weather, which has been very favorable for Wisconsin farmers this year.
So far.
But you do get tired. You know, that stretch last week, they estimated that we probably had somewhere in the neighborhood of 55,000 people at World Dairy Expo. Probably could have had about another 10 or so if the weather wouldn't have been so good. But Wisconsin farmers stayed home to keep harvesting, because in Wisconsin, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Yeah. You keep on rolling. But when you start doing long hours, part of the reason we talk about it is safety. You're not as sharp. You miss that step. Just simple things that can be life-altering when you're working around big equipment on a farm. So we think safety. But then there's also the questions that we were talking about before the break. Holy man, this crop of soybeans that I thought was going to bring profit is now barely break even, if that. You worry about that kind of thing. You worry about milk production is up quite substantially, that means milk prices are starting to slip.
Are down,
you worry about that kind of thing. So there's never a lack of things to preoccupy farmers when it comes to worry. But we do point out that they're getting better about using resources. I've talked to Jess Beauchamp. She is with the Wisconsin Farmer Wellness Program. It's 24/7. Farmers are becoming more comfortable calling her and saying, you know, here's what's going on, or just a little something. She can give them a voucher. And she said the percentage of vouchers that are now being used has gone up.
That's great.
Which is good stuff.
That's
a really good time.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'll tell you, and honestly, I don't think we have to segment out farmers. Farmers are like all the rest of us. It's not just about the commodities and the weather. It's also about maybe somebody in the family's got a drug problem or an alcohol problem, or there's an abuse problem going on, or just family dynamics. Listen, we all know that is not easy to talk about. Mm-hmm. Farmers are always about rub a little dirt on it and keep on going. It'll fix itself.
Right.
It'll be fine.
Right.
And we know that's not the case. So again, call volumes remain pretty steady at the Wisconsin Farm Center housed within the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They've got the Farmer Wellness Program that's 24/7. So if Jess isn't answering the phone, there is another counselor that will answer the phone to make sure you're getting hooked together. Jess also told me that more and more, and I think we learned this, farmers sure learned it during the pandemic, they are creating virtual forums where they can come together, just like we're doing on the Civic
sure.
Media stream, mm-hmm. and talk about what's going on in their lives. And you can remain anonymous, you know, shut your camera off if you still want to be involved in the conversation. And you form a little bit of a bond with other people that are struggling with the same kinds of things in the same profession. So are we there yet? Meh, I don't know. Do I feel better that there's a little bit more uptake on the resources that are out there? Yes. Do we have a ways to go? Yes. Like I said, there's a lot of different things that any one family is dealing with. Farmers are no different than that.
Sure.
But I do see, especially the younger farmers, are more likely to engage in the conversation. The older demographic is still...
It's still hard.
Put on it and get on
it. Yeah. I'm gonna fix it myself and I don't need any help. And there is no shame in asking for help.
Yeah.
There is no shame and admitting that you need somebody to talk to. And but what you just mentioned with those forums that they're having, that's a huge thing. That's a huge step in the right direction.
I sometimes think that farmers, when I get with my farmer buddies, now granted, I'm an old broad, so they've known me for quite a while, but you know, they never do it. They never think that people care about them.
Oh.
They just don't think people care about them. And you and I see social media posts and all that kind of stuff, and they just are so doggone humble. They do not think people care about them like that. And I'll tell you, I've talked to guys that are very upset with their situation, be it the farm or whatever. And I said, you know what, buddy? You don't realize what you can do. You are a jack of all trades, master of none. You're a mechanic. You're an electrician. You know animal nutrition. You know budgets. You do accounting. You do bookkeeping. You do all of these things that any one person dedicates their career to, you do it all in a day, and you take it for granted. Do not sell yourself short. Don't knock your value down.
Mm-hmm.
You are incredible. And sometimes, like I said, it's that tree from the forest kind of thing. Sometimes I need to wrap them alongside the head and say, look at how great you are. Look at how fabulous you are, you know?
That's why you're the fabulous, but that's why you're the fabulous farm babe.
And I put a link to that program through the Farm Center in our show notes. So if there's people out there listening who want to seek help, who need a voucher, go there, click that link, civicmedia.us/shows, look for Matt and Air on Air. It's hour two of today. It'll be there for you if you need help.
Beautiful.
Check it out. Take advantage of it. She is with the Midwest Farm Report, the fabulous farm babe, and our friend Pam Yonke. Thank you so very much, Pam. It was great to see you. We will talk to you hopefully soon.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Here. Have a good one.
You too.
You too.
News coming up next, and then Civic Media's genie of just about everything, Terry Barr, will be here. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, I try my best to be just like I am, but everybody wants you to be just like them. They say sing while you save, and I just get bored. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Flight delays are spreading because of a shortage of air traffic controllers, says CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Back during the last long shutdown, we did see air traffic control staffing issues, but it was about a month into that shutdown. Here we're about a week in, and controllers are yet to miss a paycheck.
As the shutdown enters a second week, President Trump is amping up the pressure on Democrats. CBS's Nancy Cordes has that.
The president renewed his threats that if this shutdown drags on, if Democrats don't give up their demands over health care, that there will be massive layoffs that will come about and that some of these jobs won't come back.
Trump was asked today if he would invoke the Insurrection Act to send active duty troops to Portland, Oregon.
If the governor can't do the job, we'll do the job. It's all very simple.
Members of the Texas National Guard, meanwhile, are stationed at an Army Reserve Center in Illinois, awaiting orders to deploy to Chicago. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Brewers roll past the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-3 victory over the Cubs in their best of five playoff series. The Cubs have now lost two in a row. Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, in the first two games, we have just not, you know, produced enough pressure on them. And it's, you know, that's going to add up to a lot of zeros.
Game three tomorrow afternoon, just after 4 o'clock at Wrigley Field. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked if Quinn Priester will be on the mound.
Do you know what your plans are for game three starting pitcher?
Game three will be Priester.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Heat 103-93 in preseason play. The Packers held practice and wide receiver Christian Watson out there since that ACL injury last January. Does it feel good to be back?
100%. I got to knock a little bit of rust off, obviously. It's been a while since I've been able to, you know, go out there and play football, but from just, you know, confidence and just running and everything, it felt really good.
That's Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Most movies have a climax. When it comes to When Harry Met Sally, there were actually two climaxes in the film, one of which was iconic and still talked about today. Rob Reiner was the director of the film and recently referenced the scene where Meg Ryan pretended to have the big O in the middle of a deli while sitting opposite Billy Crystal. The director says it was very awkward directing the scene in front of his mother. You might be asking, why did he invite her to the set that particular day? It's because Estelle Reiner is the woman who leans over and says, I'll have what she's having. Couldn't have been that awkward. Despite getting good reviews in his new film, The Smashing Machine, Dwayne The Rock Johnson says he feels bad. The film did not perform well at the box office, but Johnson still says he is grateful for those who went to see it. I'm curious to see his performance because critics say he was really good. Just a bit of advice, though, if you want to be taken seriously as an actor, maybe ditch the Rock part of your wrestling moniker. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Freeze warning overnight, mostly clear, areas of frost and lows in the low 30s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the upper 50s, and continued warming for Thursday and Friday with sun, highs in the low 60s. It's 46 right now.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow. On Wednesday, Chuck Collins from Patriotic Millionaires on his new book about how concentrated wealth and power are ruining our lives and our planet.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Well, I'm the genie of the lamp. I'm the genie of the lamp. Three wishes I would grant on the morning of the day.
Good morning, welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Congratulations to our multi-state text-to-win grand prize winner, Dennis from Minocqua. Listening to WCQM, picked up the grand prize in our Go for the Green and Gold contest. Dave in Kenosha and Ruth from Shatek and Luann in Amory and Angie from Hammond all picked up daily prizes, $200 in cash, gold jewelry. Thanks to everyone who participated. It was so much fun. And we will do another Text to Win contest. Make sure you download the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only way to play. She is now joining us once a month, our friend and colleague. We call her the genie of just about everything at Civic Media. Award-winning journalist Terry Barr is here. Good morning, Terry.
Oh, good morning to you and the listeners on the stream, wherever you may be listening. And congrats. Do you know how the text to win went? Did you guys win this time?
We did not.
Oh,
do you know who won? Because he had the word twice. Tom Hartman.
No kidding.
Tom Hartman won.
Rigged.
What?
The whole thing was rigged.
Tom Hartman won.
Oh my gosh.
And it's funny, Terry, because I was on with Todd yesterday. I was on Todd's show yesterday at 2:30.
Yeah, you have the Mondays.
And
now.
He brought that up. And at the very beginning of the contest, I texted him and I said, I'm going to contest the results because Tom Hartman gets two words and we only get one.
That's not fair.
I just think, you know.
Yeah. I was cheering for you and Greg and for Todd because it's always so fun to listen to the two of you and find out, you know, who's going to win.
Next time around, we're just not going to count Tom Hartman.
Oh, wow. You're really going to like a Trumpian way here. No, like if we don't count Tom Hartman, it didn't happen.
Then we won.
Yeah.
That's we're following a good example.
Following
the prime example of how to make sure you win.
I didn't mean to come on and cause trouble.
Oh, really, Terry? You didn't? You didn't know you're going to kick this hornet's nest? Cool.
Hey, yeah. You were at the Brewers game.
Was. I'm surprised I have a voice today. Here's our, you know, we get the
towels
to yell and scream. And, oh, you guys, I just love the Brewers so much. Since I was little, yeah. Thank you to my dad. Oh. And this is quite a ride right now.
What was the atmosphere like at AmFam Field last night?
You could not hear anything. I don't think Milwaukee fans stopped cheering from before the team was even introduced. It was so crazy. I've never heard it that loud in there unless you've been there for a concert.
One of the things that people were talking about was the fear of the invasion of the suburban Chicagoites, North Siders, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call them, Cubs fans. But
yeah,
it felt like,
what
it,
fans,
at
yes.
least from the highlight reel I watched from yesterday, it felt like the Brewers had a very deep representation in the stadium, and there were Cubs fans there, of course, but it certainly wasn't a thing where, you know, the Brewers were present. That's what it sounded like.
Absolutely. And I think even more so since Saturday, the Cubs fans were pretty loud Saturday, but they were quieted quickly when the Brewers won, basically. Aww. Right from the beginning. But last night was a little different because they started strong.
Yeah.
And the Brewers had to claw back to get that win. But we noticed even just walking around, yeah, not as big of a representation from Cubs fans. Yeah. So I do see now they are putting out a similar tweet. Don't sell your tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't
to
sell your
Brewers
Wrigley tickets.
Town, of
sure.
course, that was the thing earlier in the weekend. Don't sell your tickets to Cubs fans if you're coming to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh boy, are they whining this morning? Wine.
Oh my God.
Wine,
Twitter.
Wine, wine, wine.
Oh my gosh. Twitter is just
everything's unfair.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the Brewers,
why are you celebrating that? That wasn't that big of a thing. Me, me, me.
Yeah, it's just really, oh, yeah. It's just really whiny, and
it's kind of that's awful.
It's kind of amusing.
Yeah, and the fans that I ran into, and even you know, chatted with here and there, the Cubs fans, they were having a great time.
Good.
Those who were at the game. So then you wonder who's the complainers.
It's the sports writers who were complaining. Yeah. This morning.
Oh yeah. It was really like I saw a lot of people who write for Chicago sports media, and they just will not allow. It's like they don't understand or they can't calculate joy in their operating system. So when people are having fun, they immediately have to go the you know, bitter writers, to, you know, real 1940s behavior of like, I don't understand why this kid celebrate. Because he's a 23-year-old kid. He's pitching in the major leagues. Of course he's happy.
Of course he's excited.
Oh, he had such, he played great. Yeah. And if I were him, I would have been celebrating my play too.
Absolutely.
Ignore the haters.
Yeah.
Keep having fun. That's what this team is all about.
Absolutely.
Darn right.
Go Crew tomorrow from Wrigley Field. It's going to be a big game.
Yes, it is.
They could wrap it up tomorrow.
They can wrap it up. In my brain, if they get, let's see here, three, four. They only need like eight or nine victories in a row, and they win everything.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's easy.
There you go. All right, Terry, what have you got? What have you got for us today? What's going on in Wisconsin?
It is a new slice of Wisconsin, and I love this. It's perfect timing with the fall leaves. And it's a great chance for everyone to just sort of slow down, take a drive. You can only go 45 miles an hour on these particular rustic roads.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, rustic roads. Mm-hmm. 50 years old this year with the very first one in Taylor and Price counties. Now, I'm going to ask a few questions.
All right.
You know why we have rustic roads?
Because they're cool. Winner. Got it.
I love that. That is a great answer.
I don't think that's the answer. It
pretty much is the answer.
Really?
Way back 50 years ago, they wanted an opportunity for people to just slow down, as we said, to be able to hike on these roads, to take your bicycle, your motorcycle, or if you are in a car, to keep the speed down and look around and enjoy the beauty of Wisconsin. And some of these roads are gravel, dirt, and some are paved. So you're getting a different experience no matter where you travel. Do you know how many rustic roads are designated all across the state?
122.
Ooh.
Just picked that out of the air.
Okay, 126.
Whoa!
Excellent. Jane! 61 counties now have rustic roads, and that's across 760 miles in Wisconsin. I just think this is so great when you find out these are like hidden gems,
actually, they are.
Where you can go, and what a great time to go. And then to think these are going to be, you know, celebrating 50 years starting this month. And I did look up, let's see, Racine County has 6 rustic roads designations. Okay. Waukesha County has 3.
Okay.
And then Washington and Ozaukee County together has 3 that kind of cross the borders. There are maps. They're really fun too. Very interactive. You can zoom on in to see what you would be seeing. Yeah. And that's all at the WisconsinDOT.gov website. And then just look under rustic roads. I think this is so great. And, you know, another thing is the sign is very open when you first hit that rustic road. It's a big brown sign with gold lettering that says, "Welcome to this rustic road." So I just want to encourage everybody, what a great time of year to get out there and enjoy the state. And again, to slow down.
Yes.
Everybody keeps saying, you know, touch the grass,
yes,
or maybe touch the leaves, or just
yeah,
get outside for a minute and just have a clearing, yes, of the mind.
You absolutely need that.
And I do think that motorcycle riders have probably been hip to this for much longer, these rustic drives and these scenic drives, yes, than a lot of us are. But I know, you know, motorcycle clubs do big rides in areas like that. And it's very, yeah, much about looking around you and seeing what's there. And now the trees, a friend and I were just in Prairie du Chien over the weekend. They're just
beautiful,
starting to turn in that corner of the state. But I would think over the next two and a half, 3 weeks, the colors are going to be unbelievable.
And officials say if you happen to travel somewhere that is not considered a rustic road or doesn't have the designation, it's how they find out about it, through you.
Oh.
So you can be part of this. Isn't that fun?
That's,
you can,
wonderful,
help designate your own rustic road.
Yeah. There are applications on the Department of Transportation website. Pretty simple to fill out, and then they go take a look at it, take photos, and let you know if your designation is a yes or no.
Look at that.
I want that job. That'd be a great job.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun?
I'll go look.
Yeah.
Go for a drive.
There you go.
Sure, why not?
I love that idea. I think you'd have a good time.
Terry Barr is our guest. She is an award-winning journalist, and we also call her the genie of just about everything at Civic Media. You are involved in so much stuff, and you do a lot of writing. You've done a lot of writing for our show, Terry.
I have.
Yeah.
And any chance I get, you always have wonderful guests, important topics, and I think those conversations are important to get out to people that maybe didn't get a chance to hear it,
mm-hmm,
or prefer to read it as a website article. But we always include either the video or the sound from your show. So, you know, anybody who is interested in anything that is on your show, multiple ways to be able to catch up on your topics. And I love that.
You're part of the Civic Media Today now, aren't you? Putting together our daily newsletter?
I do a little piece because I write about all the different shows. Those pieces go into Civic Media, mm-hmm, Today. But we also just re-kicked off the overall Civic Media Digest that started when Civic Media began. And we've had a couple changes along the way. And I was handed this 2 weeks ago. And so I'm writing this now once a week.
Because you know you have so much free time.
So you're much
just,
time.
Just laying around doing, Terry, the genie of just about doing nothing.
She's the genie of bonbons.
There you go.
She's just bonbon girl. Just,
thank you.
Oh, darn it, that insult didn't work.
No, there are so... There,
I don't take that as an insult.
There are so many resources that we would really love you to avail yourself of that Civic Media offers, including the Daily Digest, including Civic Media Today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you,
yes,
want to find out more about those, you can go to our website. It's the best place to go, civicmedia.us. Terry Barr joins... You're going to hear her all over the place, all over the network. I know you joined Pete Schwabba. And you talk about music, and
right,
this is why she is the genie of just about everything.
There you go.
No, you guys are the best.
Terry Barr, thank you so very much. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Stay close. When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the hot and spicy edition. This is Matt Mayer on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, I'm a genie.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking
breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, pets, imaginary friends, take a listen down memory lane and spread the 411 with 97.5 FM WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. If it was released from 1990 to 1999, we will play it Sunday nights 8 to 9. Send me your requests with your beeper, or maybe DM me on the socials, or email me james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Sunday nights 8 to 9 on WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. Booyah!
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air, Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, author, New York Times bestselling author, Andra Watkins is going to be joining us. We have Andra started early on with a Substack about Project 2025. Before this was even mainstream in the news.
Yeah.
She had been covering this. She was raised in a white Christian nationalist household, and now there are a number of members of that group within the Trump administration, and you can see it by some of the things that they're enacting through Project 2025, which was always the playbook for a second Trump administration.
The author works for him.
Yes, the author, Russ Vogt, is the head of the Office of Management and Budget.
Yep.
So Andra Watkins will be joining us in hour number one. And in the second hour tomorrow, Darren Von Ruden, the Wisconsin Farmers Association president, is going to join us. He, of course, is a dairy farmer. But we're going to be talking about what's going on with tariffs and all that stuff. I'm sure he's hearing many, many different things.
Yeah, absolutely. And we thank Pam Yonke for coming on today, giving her viewpoint on what's going on in the farming community as well.
Absolutely.
Because we, as she said, they have value, and we need to know what's going on, and we need to know what they're going through so we can, I can't help, I don't have money, I can at least help advocate on their behalf if
absolutely
that's possible.
And as we were talking with Pam, too, just about mental health and everything, and this goes for all of us, there's no shame in asking for help.
Correct.
Please don't think there's no help. You are not alone. There's help out there.
Yes.
It is, Calvin, 10:55, approaching 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. This from CTV News in Canada.
Eh?
Melanie Kentner has the byline. The headline reads, Salsa Heist, $35,000 worth of dips. Stolen in Essex County, Ontario.
This is a hot story, let me tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ontario Provincial Police say $35,000 worth of salsa and chips were stolen during the theft of two tractor trailers. One, a 53-foot-long enclosed trailer stolen at the end of September. It was loaded with cases of salsa and dip worth approximately $35,000. The truck was later returned to the location, damaged and without the trailer, but they brought the truck back.
Yeah, the truck doesn't belong to me, so that's not what's Canadian.
I wouldn't steal that.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, Jane, okay, times are tough. Costs are going up. Some Mexican restaurants don't just give you chips and salsa for free anymore. And if you have to find your way of getting one of your favorite things to do, which is taking your number three thing to get your number one thing to your face... then that's what you do. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to justify crime here, but times are tough. We do what we can.
The transport truck that was stolen, actually 2 days later, there was a second transport truck without a trailer that was stolen from the same area. It was later seen towing what investigators believe was the truck, the trailer that was stolen earlier with the chips and salsa.
It's a salsa wave.
It's
a crime salsa wave.
The stolen trailer and the cargo remain outstanding. No one knows where the trailer went. Investigators believe a Jeep Rubicon was seen in the area and may have been involved. So if you live in Essex County, Ontario, the local police asking anyone who might have information to contact them. You can stay anonymous.
You know, if you notice at parties, one of your friends or family is gifting everybody chips and salsa.
Big, like, jugs.
Yeah. Huge salsa flag there.
Yeah.
Call the provincial police.
Yes.
And, I mean, just, I know you don't want to snitch on a friend, but this is important. Be a part of the solution.
Be part of the solution.
Yeah, there you
exactly.
Go.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit. And you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by the winner of the Text and Win contest, Tom Hartman.
Oh, my God. Let it go.
Tom Hartman coming up next from 11 until 2. Todd Alba will take over from 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. She's got her great segment called What's on Your Mind?
Sound off
with Maggie Dawn today in the 5 o'clock hour. And then Peach Schwabba wrapping it all up. From 6 to 8 p.m. with a little nightlight. So stay tuned for that.
And I know there's no game until tomorrow, but still, go crew.
Go crew. And if you're going to be riding the train tomorrow,
oh yeah,
please take pictures.
Yeah, let us know. We'd love to.
And send them in. We would love to post them. You can always do that at 855-752-4842. All right, we got news coming up next. So keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you tomorrow.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. James Comey is expected to appear in court on Wednesday, the first of a number of people President Trump has said should be prosecuted for using the justice system against him. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The former FBI director fired by President Trump in 2017 has denied wrongdoing, but he will face two criminal charges at an arraignment at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia today. The president has celebrated this case, calling James Comey a liar. Critics of the administration say the Trump administration is weaponizing the Department of Justice to go after a political rival.
National Guardsmen from Texas are expected to be deployed to Chicago as early as Wednesday. CBS's Nicole Skanga tells us what they'll be doing.
Fresh off of C-17's, roughly 200 members of the Texas National Guard going to a military facility for operational debriefs. Their assignment, well, the Pentagon,